हरि ओम तत्सत श्री गुरुभ्यो नमः हरि ओम ओम सदा शिव समारंभाम व्यास शंकर मध्यमाम अस्मदाचार्य पर्यंताम वंदे गुरु परंपराम श्रुति स्मृति पुराणानाम आलयम करुणालयम नमामि भगवत्पाद शंकरम लोकशंकरम शंकरम शंकराचार्यम केशवम बादरायणम सूत्र भाष्य कृतौ वंदे भगवन्तौ पुनः पुनः ओम सहनाववतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सह वीर्यंकरवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै ओम शांति शांति शांति
So I had to quickly say what we have seen in these 9 verses. I had to go to the 10th verse. The purpose of Vedantic teaching is giving the vision of the oneness of the truth, the non-duality of the reality, which is freedom from bondage. So the vision of the non-duality of the reality has to be accomplished as the knowledge of the oneness of the truth of the individual and the total. And this knowledge of oneness of the truth of the individual and the total is possible only if we understand, analyze and arrive at the truth of the individual first. So it's very important for us to arrive at the truth of the individual through individual analysis, using our reasoning with the help of the Shastram. Thereafter, with the help of the Shastram, we arrive at the truth of the total. And with the help of the Shastram, we also arrive at the truth of the oneness of the truth of the individual and the total. And thereby finally, we get the vision of the non-duality of the reality, which is Mokshaha. Therefore, Vidyaranya Swami presents the individual analysis, the first mantras, and using the Avasthatraya Vichara, through Avasthatraya, inquiring into the three states of experience, he helps us arrive at the Swarupam of the individual, truth of the individual being, consciousness, existence, happiness, or fullness. And there, in order to arrive at the consciousness being the very existence, consciousness and existence are not two different things. If we ask, we use the term existence, we always understand the meaning of the word existence, always in relation with something, in relation to something. Mic is, book is, world is, when we say, their existence is associated with a given object. You never understand an existence, the meaning of the word existence, without relating it to an object. Existence of the self, existence of the world, existence of the some object, this or that. Existence, the meaning of the word existence, without associating it with any other object, we never understand. Vidyaranya Swami here makes it very clear that there is no such, the meaning of the word existence is consciousness. There is no pure existence. The existence without the association of a given object, without being related to any given object, the existence by itself, the pure existence, is nothing but consciousness. So consciousness is the existence. Like how light is the existence of the opaque. Water is the existence of the ocean. The existence of the ocean is water. Existence of the opaque is light. Existence of any effect is its cause. Similarly, existence of the jagat is consciousness. But you cannot understand existence being consciousness unless you arrive at consciousness. All subtle things you have to know. You can never arrive at existence, pure existence, without having understood what consciousness is. Why? Because they are one and the same. But you can't differentiate it as this consciousness is the existence, the meaning of the word, the pure existence. Understand? For which you need to arrive at the consciousness. To arrive at the consciousness also, you can arrive at the consciousness only as the swarupam of the knower, the subject, I. And for which this analyzing the cognition, I cognition, self cognition, helps you. Because there is no cognition which forms part of the mind without the I cognition. Therefore, I cognition, there is no other cognition beyond the I cognition. Therefore, I cognition you take up and you understand. This I cognition involves what? Just consciousness and the vritti. The vritti is also, you can understand the vritti being there, but you can't explain what vritti is. Vritti itself happens to be the subtle material factor, enough product. The vritti is something understandable, but not explicable, not describable. Isn't it? Therefore, that vritti being, how do you understand that vritti is or not? There is a time vritti is when there is cognition. There is a time when the vritti is not, there is no cognition. I cognition, I am cognition, is present in the waking state, is absent in deep sleep state, which means, you know, the consciousness is there, but vritti alone is not there. And how do you say consciousness is there? Because the presence of the vritti, absence of the vritti is known. Because presence of cognition, absence of cognition is known. Therefore, that no, because there is object of knowledge in deep sleep state, what is the object of knowledge? Absence of the cognition is the object of knowledge. Presence of cognition is the object of knowledge in waking. Therefore, and absence is an object means, objectified means, there is the knower because of whose presence. The absence is known and the presence is known. Is it clear? That knower does not use any instruments of knowledge. See, to know the external world for the knower, to know the external world, the instruments of knowledge are required. And to know the thoughts again, isn't it? Thoughts. There's no instruments. It's just in between light and opaque. What instrument is there? Opaque shines in the presence of the light. Similarly, you can only understand the cognition is present in one state. The cognition is absent in another state. And the absence of cognition is known. Therefore, cognition itself becomes an object of knowledge. That is why in Tamil we say arivirku arivai. The knower of the knowledge. The presence of cognition, the waking is known. The absence of cognition is known. The deep sleep state means the knower of knowledge. Means what? The knower of the presence and absence of thoughts. Is the knower of presence and absence of cognition. Is it clear now? And that knower is what? Oh, is consciousness. Is it clear? Pure unarva. Pure consciousness. You only arrive at the meaning, the substance of the substantive consciousness. That which you arrive at as consciousness alone is satyam. Not even the term consciousness, which you saw in Mandukya. That is why my mind goes to Gaudapada Acharya again and again. It's clear? And that consciousness is the existence. Well, how do you say for which? The other way of saying also. So without the light, opaque cannot be there. Therefore, existence of light is the existence of the opaque. Therefore, existence of opaque is the light, we can say. Without the cognition, there cannot be the cognized. Therefore, existence of cognition is the existence of the cognized. But then, the cognition itself is not possible without the cognizer, the knower. Therefore, we say existence of knower is the existence of cognition. Therefore, that knower is consciousness. Therefore, existence of consciousness is the existence of the knower. Okay? Existence of consciousness is the existence of the knowledge. Existence of consciousness is the existence of the known. Therefore, consciousness is the existence of the knower, knowledge and the known. The existence is the satyam, the truth. Why? Because that's one way of saying. Another way of saying is the truth is defined already in the Shastram. The truth, the reality is that which is non-negatable. As non-existent or as mithya or as the okay, that which is always there, non-negatably, in all three periods of time, that is satyam. So that which is eternal is satyam. The reality is that, which is always there, And that reality which is always there non-negatively is the existence. Therefore, here we analyze the consciousness is there always eternally, non-negatably. Therefore, consciousness is the existence. Okay? The two ways of arriving at it. Thereafter, and the happiness is something which is always sought by every human mind. That happiness is none other, nothing but fullness, which is again the nature of consciousness. What, in what form does consciousness obtain? In what form does consciousness, the existence obtain? If you ask, consciousness, the existence, is of the nature of fullness, of the nature of happiness. And this is also unfolded through, it is you unfolded how? Helping you use your own reasoning, you are helped to arrive at the happiness, being your Swarupam. And we saw the love for something is always, the love is always for something which is desirable, which is a source of pleasure. An object of pleasure, an object of which is a source of joy and happiness, which serves some of my personal interest alone, becomes an object of love, object of desire. An object which is a source of pain or unhappiness, you know, becomes an object of hatred, not object of love. That is how we see in the world. So if we use this, if you analyze that we always love ourselves the most, the love for one's own self is something unconditional, which means we unconditionally love ourselves. Therefore, the self must be this consciousness, the existence, which is the truth of I, the substance of the substantive I, must be of the nature of consciousness, happiness or fullness. So even if we say there's love for, not only I love myself, I love so many things in the world, I love so many people in the world, no, I have love for children, love for wife, love for friends, love for objects, love for, no, so many things means, and the Shastram says, it is possible for you to have love for so many things, as long as they fulfill your needs, as long as fulfill the conditions you have towards them. Which means, love for anything or anybody in the world is ultimately love for oneself. Atmanastu kamaya sarvam priyam bhavati. There's no such thing called love for anything in the world at all. Love for anything in the world is a conditional love. That conditional love is also ultimately for the self which is unconditionally loved. It's a factor. This is a fact. Therefore, and here the reason he gives, why, how do we say self is of the nature of happiness? We say self is of the nature of happiness because self is unconditionally loved. Self is, one's own self is the object of unconditional love. And self is of the object of unconditional love, no, because there is always love for the continuous, never-ending, ever-present existence of the Self. I want to be alive forever. Without any difficulties and problems in life, with all comforts, with all pleasures, with lots of joy, with the good children and good wife and good health and lots of money and every good weather and everything is fantastic around us, who will want to die? Nobody will like to die. In fact, we want to be alive forever. That is why we don't want to suffer. Understand? We want to be happy. Why? Because we want to be forever. And we decide to die also only when you understand it's impossible for me to be happy forever. Then you'd be even, okay, let me die. You know, really speaking, the heart of the heart, there is always love for never-ending life. That love for may I be there forever. That love for the continuous self-existence of the Self, you know, is the proof that one loves oneself unconditionally. And because one loves one's own self unconditionally, one's own self is the only source of happiness, the greatest source of happiness. Therefore, this consciousness, if you go and search after entering into the cave of mind and negating all the cognition, push aside all the cognition, it's like you are walking into the cave of your mind, okay, as though, and pushing aside all these cognitions, and finally you have to reach the dead end of the cave where you cannot walk anymore. You have to stand, stop, because you are hit at the wall there in darkness. We hit there and a wall, that is what eye cognition. And that eye cognition, beyond it is that anything, no, that is the dead end. Nothing else, you can't trespass anymore, you can't go anymore beyond. And that eye cognition, if you see what it is, you will stumble upon, push the thought there and see what is there beyond the thought, in the cognition, just the consciousness. Okay, that is what is cognitively arriving at the truth being consciousness. You arrive at the substance of the substantive consciousness, and remaining in consciousness again, you see the very word consciousness being mithya. And you see, understand that consciousness is what? Pure consciousness without the thought is what? Cognitively having separated the consciousness from the thought, that consciousness is the pure existence, meaning of the word existence also. Two different words, the two different substantives, substance is one. So the word existence is mithya, the substance is satyam, isn't it? The word consciousness is mithya, the substance is satyam. And the same substance is what? Fullness, happiness, is of the nature of happiness. Like how the water, the H2O, substance of the substantive wave and ocean, is the existence of devotion and ease of the nature of fullness. Is of the nature of pervasiveness. Doesn't need to do any action to pervade the ocean, isn't it? Similarly here, fullness or happiness is the very nature of the existence. Because it is very subtle here. Understand? So this is what is unfolded in the 9 verses. This is how we arrive at the truth of the individual being, consciousness, existence, happiness. These 9 verses. Okay. Now we are going to go to the 10th verse. Ittham sachit paranandah.
Ittham sachit paranandah.
Is it all right? Okay. Ittham sachit paranandah. Atma yuktya tatha vidham. Param brahma tayos chaikyam. Param brahma tayos chaikyam. Shrutyante shupadishyate. Shrutyante shupadishyate. Ittham sachit paranandah.
Ittham sachit paranandah.
Atma.
Atma.
Yuktyatathavidham.
Yuktyatathavidham.
Param brahma tayos chaikyam.
Param brahma tayos chaikyam.
Shrutyante shupadishyate.
Shrutyante shupadishyate.
So, ittham. Ittham is an indeclinable word which means in this manner. In which manner? In the manner we have seen above. In this manner, Satchidanandaha Atma. Okay, Atma means what now? All pervasive, indestructible, eternal, innermost essence, the substance of the substantive, I, is Atma. Is it? That Atma, what is that? What is that indestructible, indestructible, all-pervasive, indestructible, independent, innermost nature of the substance of substantive, I, consciousness, existence, happiness? Satchidanandaha is equal to Atma. Atma is equal to Satchidanandaha. What is Atma? Self. What is the self? All-pervasive, indestructible, eternal, innermost essence. The substance of the substantive I, the truth of the knower, the subject of knowledge. What is that? Indestructible, inner, indestructible, eternal, all-pervasive, innermost, essential nature, the truth of I, substance of substantive I, the knower, consciousness, existence, happiness. Okay. This consciousness, existence, happiness, being the Atma, the self, is arrived at. How do you arrive at? Through reasoning, yuktya. In this manner, we arrive at the Atma. Atma, being, consciousness, existence, happiness. Through reasoning, yuktya, yuktihi means reasoning, logic. So logically, through reasoning, we arrive at the nature of the self being, consciousness, existence, happiness in this manner. In which manner? The manner mentioned above. The manner we have arrived at. Not just by reasoning, with, you use this reasoning with the help of the scripture. But now, next sentence. Tatha vidham, in the same way, param brahma. In the same way, the nature of the absolute reality, the truth of the cosmos. Now we have to understand the same truth with reference to individual is implied by the term Atma. The same truth with reference to universe is implied by the term Parambrahma. The truth as the truth of the whole is implied by the term Parambrahma. The same truth as the truth of the individual is implied by the term Atma. Therefore, Atma and Brahma are two different terms implying one and the same reality. Is it clear now? That is why we say what now? The truth of the individual Atma and the truth of the whole, the Parambrahma, is one and the same. Then you get, that's what Shastram says, what? Tat Tvam Asi. You can say what? Aham Brahma Asmi. You can say that. So now, so Param Brahma is the truth of the whole, implied by the term Param Brahma, is also nothing but same consciousness, existence, fullness or limitlessness. Okay? Only thing is, this fullness is implied by the term limitlessness when you, it with reference to the whole. And how do you arrive at the truth of the universe, the whole, implied by the term Brahman, being the same consciousness, existence, limitlessness? How? Not through reasoning, only with the help of the Shrutihi. Yukna yuktya, only by Shrutya. Okay? Only by Shruti. So he says, Tatha vidam, in the same way, the Param Brahma, the absolute reality, the ultimate truth of the whole, implied by the term Brahman, being the same, is also arrived at not through reasoning, not logically, but through Shruti. That is said in the second sentence. So not only Param Brahma, Tayoho cha Aikyam. See, Tayoho cha Aikyam. Tayoho means of those, of both. Tayoho avirandudaya. Tayoho means of both, both of those, both of them. Is it? Of both, of those two means what? Of the, of those, na, of their. The truth of the individual, the Atma, being consciousness, existence, fullness, and the truth of the whole Parambrahma, being consciousness, existence, happiness. Okay? Being, therefore, the truth of the individual, the Atma, the truth of the whole Parambrahma, being one and the same consciousness, existence, fullness, is also arrived at. Aikyam, the oneness of the truth of both being one and the same, also is arrived at, not through reasoning, but only through Shrutihi. Okay, Yuktihi with the Shrutihi is used only for arriving at the truth of the self. But we arrive at the truth of the whole and the oneness of the truth of the whole and the individual only through Shrutihi. There you cannot use Yuktihi. Tayoho cha aikyam. Cha means and. So what is and? Aikyam. Param Brahma and their aikyam. With aikyam of what? Aikyam means oneness. Oneness of Atma and Brahma. Oneness of Atma and Brahma means what? Atma is self, truth of the individual. Brahman is the truth of the improvised term, the truth of the whole. But the Atma and Brahman, both the words imply what? Imply consciousness, existence and fullness. Aikyam. Shrutyanteshu upadishyate. Upadishyate means what now? Is taught. Where shrutyanteshu. Shrutyantaha means Upanishads. Every Upanishad is Shrutyanta. Okay? Shrutyantaha. Shrutyanteshu means at the end portion of the Vedas. In the Upanishads, it is taught. What is taught? The oneness of the truth of the individual and the total, and the truth of the total also is revealed at the end of the Upanishads. In the Veda, the Upanishads. Okay. So with this, now we have to go to the next verse. Therefore, what is very clear now? You have arrived at the truth of the Atma, but you have yet to arrive at the truth of the Brahman with the help of the Shruti. So, which means you have to yet to study. And only with the help of the Shruti, scripture, you have to arrive at the truth, oneness of the truth also. And only when you arrive at the oneness of the truth of both, your knowledge is complete. Till then, your knowledge is incomplete knowledge. Therefore, now we'll go to the next verse. Therefore, the teaching is continued. Why teaching is continued? Our knowledge is incomplete. Okay. Abhanena param prema. Bhanena vishaye spruha.
Bhanena vishaye spruha.
Ato bhane pyabhatasau.
Ato bhane pyabhatasau.
Paramananda tatmanaha.
Paramananda tatmanaha.
Abhanena param prema.
Abhanena param prema.
Bhanena vishaye spruha.
Bhanena vishaye spruha.
Vishaye spruha.
Vishaye spruha.
Ato bhane pyabhatasau.
Ato bhane pyabhatasau.
Paramananda tatmanaha.
Paramananda tatmanaha.
Abhane na param prema. Bhane na vishaye spruha. Ato bhane ataha, bhane api abhata asau paramanandata atmanaha. Let me tell you what it is. Now, there is a root bha. Bha is a root. We mean to shine. And the verb is bhati. You came across this word, natatra suryo bhati, everywhere you came across. Bhati is a second conjugation verb, which means shines. And gerund of that verb bhati is bhanam, shining. Tamil na vilangudal, bhanam na vilangudal. You know, being revealed. Shining is bhanam. See, now, does Atma shine or not? Is the truth of the self shining or not? Does Atma shine or not? If we say, no, here he says, you can't say Atma does not shine at all. You can't say, yes, Atma shines perfectly, totally it shines. Atma, the truth of yourself, you know, which means what? Is there knowledge of the self or not? This Atma shine or not means what? Atma vilangugiradha illayan keta. What does it mean? Is there knowledge of the self or not? If you say, no, there is no self-knowledge at all, if you say, you are wrong. There is no self-knowledge at all, you can't say. There is self-knowledge, which means Atma shines. There is shining of the Atma. But, unfortunately, this Atma does not shine totally, only partially. There is only partial self-knowledge. The knowledge of the self is not total but partial. How? There is knowledge, I am. Atma shines as I am, shines in the form of the truth of I, shines as I am. Therefore, this partial knowledge I am. So he says, Abhane na param prema. Abhanena, if there is no, if there is no knowledge at all, na param prema, this unconditional love for the self is impossible. The unconditional love for the self would not have been there if Atma is totally unknown. Abhane, Atma mulmayaga vilangamal irundirukkumanal, in the, enna solradhu, alavatra anbu, yeah, the limitless love for the self, unconditional love for the self is not possible, wouldn't have been there. How can you have love for something which is unknown totally? You must have at least heard about the jamun. Even though we do not know anything about heaven, we have heard about heaven. Therefore, love for heaven is possible. You must have heard about, you know, Alaska, heard about a place, heard about at least some knowledge you must have about any object to have love for that object. A totally unheard, unseen, unknown object cannot be an object of love. But because there is unconditional love for the Atma, Atma is definitely known, is it? Definitely known. So what he says, abhane, abhana means what now? Total ignorance. If there is total ignorance of the self is totally unknown, then na param prema, param here is unconditional, limitless love for Atma would not have been there at all if Atma is totally unknown. Next, bhane na vishaye spriha. So you accept what? When you read the quarter of the month verse, you accept, yes. No, I know. I am. I know I am. Therefore, Atma does shine in the form of the knowledge I am, as I am. Aham, 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 naan, 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 naan. Indra, that which always shines in nothing but Atma. Atma is shines, Atma is known as I am. So partially known. Because Atma is known as I am, Atma shines as I am, you cannot take that you know Atma totally. There is no total knowledge of Atma also. Atma is not totally unknown, nor is the Atma totally known. How do you say Atma is not totally known? If Atma is totally known, then you will have known Atma being happiness. If you know Atma is Atma being happiness, which means you are happiness. Happiness cannot go in search of happiness. But now what are we doing? This spriha vishaye. With our running after things, chasing the objects, is it? Logging for objects, slogging for objects. Vishaye spriha, this craving, longing, passion, desire for the objects, you know, itself is the proof that we do not know Atma totally. Very beautiful, isn't it? He says, bhane na vishaye spriha. Bhane, if there is this bhanam, is knowledge. We take this knowledge. This is called sati saptami. If there is total knowledge of the self, then vishaye spriha nasyat. Then craving or love for other objects will not be possible. Would not have been possible. Would not have been there at all. The desire for anything in the world would not be there at all. The passion for anything in the world would not be there at all. The craving, longing for anything in the world would not be there at all. Wouldn't have been there. But now there is a craving, there is missing, there is longing, there is desire, there is passion, there is love for so many things in the world. We go after many things in the world because that itself is the proof that Atma is not known totally. It's very beautifully he takes us. Abhane na param prema. Bhanena vishaye spriha. If Atma is known totally, there cannot be unconditional love for Atma. Atma is unknown totally. Then unconditional love for Atma is not possible. If Atma is known totally also, craving for external objects is not possible. But now we see both. We love ourselves unconditionally, but still we are going after objects. We in search of the happiness. We are the very status of being a seeker. I am the seeker of happiness. I'm searching for peace. Itself proves what? Two things. You know you are. There is self-knowledge, but partial. But you do not know what you are, because you're searching for happiness. If you know you know you are, fantastic. If you also know what you are, you would have known your happiness. If you know your happiness means you know you are, you know your happiness, then your knowledge is total. In total knowledge, knowing what you are, then there won't be seeker status. 'S it clear? Therefore, Ataha, therefore, Bhane Api, in spite of shining, in spite of Atma being known, in spite of the knowledge that I am, in spite of having the knowledge, in spite of the knowledge of the Self being there as I am, in spite of the partial knowledge I am being there about the Self, Abhata means does not shine. What is not there? The knowledge what I am is not there. In spite of the partial knowledge that I am, there is no knowledge what I am. There is, okay, the nature of the Self being happiness is not known. Atmanaha paramanandata abhata. Abhata means does not shine. Abhata means what? Does not shine. There is no knowledge. What does not shine? Aso paramanandata. This nature of happiness. Paramanandaha means absolute happiness or limitless happiness. Paramanandata means nature of happiness. Noun form. Paramanandata, whose nature is happiness? Atmanaha. Okay? The nature of the Self being happiness does not shine, is not known. In spite of the knowledge I am, there is no knowledge of the Self, no knowledge of the nature of the Self being happiness. This knowledge I am, but there is no knowledge what I am. There is partial knowledge I am. There's partial ignorance of what I am. There's no knowledge what I am. So in spite of having this half knowledge I am, there's no knowledge of the nature of the Self, nature of the Atma being happiness. Beautiful, isn't it? Now we have to say asau means this. Asau is adjective for paramanandata. In the nireva irukkum tanmai. Atma udaya nireve sorupumayul atmavin sorupum nireva irupadu abhata vilangavillai. Atmas, atmanaha is a possessive form. Atmanaha is the what now? Shashti. Nakarantaha, pullingaha, atman shabdaha. Tasya ekavachane shashti vibhakto atmanaha iti rupam. In possessive, atmanaha means what? Atmas, apostrophe s. Or of the atma. Nature of the atma. Atma, being happiness, does not shine. Which means there is no knowledge of the nature of Atma being happiness. There is ignorance of the nature of the Atma being happiness. In spite of the knowledge I am, in spite of the knowledge, self-knowledge being there. Is it clear? How should you say? Ataha. Ataha means therefore. Bhane api. In spite of the knowledge I am. Asau. Atmanaha asau paramanandata abhata. Paramanandata is a feminine gender word. Therefore abhata. Atmanaha asau paramanandata abhata. Kutaha, why? What is the reason? Go to the first sentence. Atma is not totally unknown. Atma is not totally known. If Atma is totally unknown, then there wouldn't have been the love, unconditional love for Atma. If Atma is totally unknown also, there won't be love for external objects. This love for the self is love for the objects also. This love for the self and the love for the external objects is the proof love must be only for the Atma. But now we have love for both, which means love for the self, love for others, love for the external things, other than myself. Which means, I have half knowledge, partial knowledge of myself. I also partial ignorance of myself. Okay, we'll go to the next one. Now here, he's going to give an example. Look at this.
Adhetruvargamadhyastha putradhyayana shabdavat bhane pyabhanam bhanasya pratibandhena yujyate.
Okay. Very technically he is going to take us now. Why there is partial ignorance? The reason for partial ignorance. Or you can say, what is this partial ignorance? This is why. What is partial ignorance is? He is going to say, for which he gives an example. The partial ignorance of the self is like this. Adhyetru vargaha. Adhyetru means the student. One who studies the Veda. The Veda Adhyayanam. Veda Adhyetru. mean one who is in the Vedic school where he is learning the chanting. You know, it's called Adhyetru. So Adhyetaraha means the students of Vedic chanting. Or Veda Adhyayanam. Adhyayanam means studying. Okay, Adhite means studies. Adhyetru means the student. So Vargaha means class. Adhyetru Vargaha means the class of the Vedic students. The Vedic chanting class of the student, Vedic students. Many students are chanting in the class and all the students are together simultaneously chanting in chorus. Is it? A chorus chanting. And Madhyastaha, okay, the Putraha, one man comes and stands near the entrance and he sees his son chanting. He hears the son chanting. How? In chorus. In the class. Who is? No? So, but what happens? Madhyastha means Adhyayana Shabdavat. Shabda is the noise. The person listens to the noise of the chanting of his son. Who is amidst the other students who are chanting? But he knows his son's sound is there. He knows his son's voice is there. This person knows the voice of his son's chanting, who is amidst the other students. But he does not know specifically how his son's voice is. He has partial knowledge of his son's voice. He knows his voice is there. But he does not know how specifically how his son's voice is. He cannot make out. Beautiful example. Because those days, Vidyaranya Swami speaking, he can only talk about Vedanta, Vedic school, Vedic chanting. So he gives. So Adhyetru Varga Madhyastha Putra Adhyayana Shabdavat. Vat means like. Is Atma Ajnanam, the partial knowledge and partial ignorance of the self is like the partial knowledge and partial ignorance of the noise, the voice of, the chanting voice of one's own son who is amidst the other students in the class, the chanting class. Vatna like, this partial ignorance and partial knowledge is of the self is like the partial ignorance and partial knowledge of the chanting voice of one's own voice of the son who is amidst the other students in the chanting class. One long sentence. He sees the son chanting, he knows this, definitely his voice is, but he does not know how specific it is. Like that. Now, he next sentence. Bhane api abhanam. Bhane api abhanam. In spite of the knowledge being there, what are you? My son is chanting. My son's chanting voice is there. Noise is there. He hears the sound of the son chanting, but he does not know what exactly his sound is. Bhane api abhanam. In spite of knowing his son chanting, knowing the son's voice, he does not know how his son's voice is. He knows son's voice is, but he does not know how his voice is, what his voice is, how his sound is, how he sounds, he does not know. He knows his son sounds, but he does not know the son sounds. Now, what is the reason? Banasya pratibandena yujyate. Because there is obstacle, there is something which is obstructing the voice from being heard, how it is. Okay, there's something which is obstructing the sound from, you know, being heard as what it is, how it is. Edo ondra adi tadukkirathu. Something is obstructing that voice, noise from being known as how it is. So pratibandena yujyate. There's some obstruction, there's some obstacle. He says, understand, there is something which is preventing it from being heard, from hearing. Pratibandaha, this obstruction. Now, next verse, he is going to tell you what is pratibandaha. What is the obstruction? See, suppose if we tell you eating. Eating means you simply know. Simple thing, isn't it? What is eating? You all know. But our tarkikas, our logicians, always make the simple things very complicated by defining it. The act of eating. What is the act of eating? If you say, the act of eating is that by which the food from the plate being taken by the hand and that by which the food from the hand is put into the opened mouth and that by which the tongue, is pushing the food into the food pipe. Suppose if somebody says this definition, that by which the food taken in is pushed into the food pipe by the tongue, this is what is act of eating. Somebody defines it. How complicated it is, isn't it? Which is but still nice, isn't it? It's truth, isn't it? Like that, what is obstruction? Here, he defines here, Vidyaranya Swami wants to present the definition of obstruction. Listen, let me tell you before I go to the verse. If I say, now, there is mic, and this mic shines, asti bhati. So then this object is not obstructed object. Obstructed object means what? The object which is not known, not seen, which does not shine, is what? Obstructed object. Now this object is not obstructed. Now this is a book. When you say this object called a book shines, it shines. Therefore, this book is what now? Asti, this is called Asti Bhati Vyavaharaha. the transactable object means what? Vyavahara arhaha vastu. Vyavahara arham vastu means transactable object. Transactable object alone in our buddhi is existent object. Transactable object, accessible object is existent object. The non-transactable, non-accessible object in our understanding is non-existent object, isn't it? So what is that? No, the object become is said to be transactable object. Vyavahara arham vastu. Vyavaharaha means transaction. Vyavahara arham means transactable. Vastu means object. So vyavahara arham vastu means object. Okay. The object which is access, no, that is called astibhati vyavaharaha. Astibhati vyavaharaha means what now? That, okay, the object asti bhati, therefore it is transactable. That which makes the object, no, existent is the transactability of the object. The transactability of the object is dependent on the existence and the nobility of the object. The transactability of the object is based on the knowability and the existence of the object. Is it clear? It's called astibhati vyavahara. Suppose the object, no, the obstructed object means what? The obstructed object means the non-transactable object is said to be what? Non-existent object. What is non-transactable object? The object, you know, which is the non-transactable object is that which has no knowability or existence. Because existence of the object is object presupposes the knowability, isn't it? Therefore, the transactability is dependent on the knowability and the existence. It's called nasti na bhati vyavaharaha. For us, it's okay. In this class, I'm saying mic. If you say mic, is it transactable or non-transactable? Transactable. Why? It has knowability. It has existence. Elephant. Here, elephant. Elephant in the class is non-transactable. Why? It is not knowable in the class. Even totally unknowable. I mean non-knowable because non-existent here. Therefore, we can say with reference to elephant, there is a nasti na bhati vyavaharaha. With reference to mic, there is asti bhati vyavaharaha. Lot of Sanskrit, huh? I can't help. Ella. Asti bhati vyavaharaha, nasti na bhati vyavaharaha. Therefore, now, in this verse, Vidyaranya Swami says, the pratibandha is that which converts the astibhati vyavahara into nasti na bhati vyavahara. Look at this. Pratibandha is that which changes, which converts the asti bhati vyavahara into nasti na bhati vyavahara. It become clear only next class. Don't worry. today you only understand nasti bhati vyavahara, nasti na bhati vyavahara. So the obstruction is that which converts the transactability of the object into non-transactable. Because transactability is what? It is dependent on knowability and existence. Your conversion of astibhati vyavahara into nastinabhati vyavahara is pratibandha. Don't worry. If you have understood, fantastic. If you have not understood also, don't worry. The next class I will have some work to do. You understood, then everything is over, isn't it? Look at this. Pratibandosti bhati ti.
Pratibandosti bhati ti.
Vyavahararha vastuni.
Vyavahararha vastuni.
Tamnirasya viruddhasya.
Tamnirasya viruddhasya.
Tasyotpadanamuchyate.
Tasyotpadanamuchyate.
Pratibandha uchyate. Pratibandha, obstruction is said to be what? Said to be that. Obstruction is said to be that which converts the accessibility of the object in the form of its knowability and the existence into now non-knowability and non-existence. Is it clear now? Is pratibandha. So pratibandha is that which converts the accessibility of an object which is dependent on its knowability and the existence into a non-accessibility due to its non-nobility and non-existence. Irikkirathu, vilangukirathu, endra oru porulin nilaiyai maatri illadhadhaga, vilangadhaga edhu seigiratho adharku per pratibandha. Thariyo thappo bhagavanathan velicham, naan solla tamil. See, astibhati vyavahara arha vastuni tam nirasya viruddhasya tasya utpadanam pratibandha iti uchyate is Sanskritam. So we'll see it next week. Om Purnamadah Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnamevavasishyate. Om Shanti Shanti Shantihi Harihi Om Tat Sat Shri Gurubhyo Namaha Harihi Om.